Tom Gazzola joins us. Tommy, Connor McDavid, let's start there. He is now only the sixth player in NHL history to have five consecutive 30 goals, 60 assist seasons. Only six players have ever done it in NHL history, both at the same time. So that's a pretty unique group. And he just turned 24. So considering that only Gretzky has more than six in a row, there's a pretty good chance Connor McDavid could find himself second on that list. And I don't know, call me crazy. Does McDavid have eight more years in him where he could go 30-60?
Yes.
In a row?
I think so. I mean, this, Gregor, it's a treat. And we're lucky we get to see him in person up close. And, you know, there's probably some people going, take off your Oilers glasses. Listen, you don't need Oilers glasses to understand how good this player is and what he's about to accomplish getting to the century mark. I think it's possible we see it by this weekend. It's phenomenal. To me, Gregs, he's the evolution of hockey player. He is the next generation. This is what everyone's going to try to emulate themselves to be, and Connor McDavid is the push to the next generation and wave of hockey. It's incredible. I mean, even on a night where you think he's quiet, he does something in a moment, and you're like, wow, that was a nice play. Or even a subtle play, like on the Puljujarvi goal, to have the vision and understanding. And then by the end of the night, you're like, he just put home his second of the night. It's an into an empty net. And, oh, yeah, he's got 4 points. It's amazing. And the league put out a thing in its morning skate report that he joins Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky as players to have 30 and 60 within 50 or fewer games in a season. That's just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Well, yeah, there's a few other guys that have done it as well, right? Adam Oates did it, and Jagr, and some other guys for sure. But it's you know, it's pretty special what McDavid's doing right now. I kind of joke that, you know, he's like the when you play in men's league and your buddy brings out his friend who played in the A or the NHL and comes out and, you know, just kind of toys with the guys for fun. There's games where, like right now, McDavid's just kind of almost doing what he wants at times.
Yeah, that's like when Cale Mulrat was my beer league teammate and line mate for a while when he was still playing for the Halifax or the Ice Caps, Winnipeg's farm team. But it's just silly. I mean, I don't know. How else do we describe it anymore, Gregs? How else? It's amazing. Now the next step, I think, after all the individual accolades, is the big silver trophy at the end of the playoffs. And I think, you know, Connor McDavid will be the first one to tell you that he's only focused on that. But you're right. He's the cheat code. He is that guy that comes out and just waxes everybody he plays against because they're just nowhere near as good as him. And the crazy part is he does it at the NHL level.
Yeah, it's very entertaining to watch, and it's one where you don't kind of buckle down and get ready for it. Like, Sidney Crosby's had an unreal career, right? Mm-hmm. No question about it. Sidney Crosby in his whole career had five seasons of 30 goals and 60 assists at the same time. Now, he did have six seasons of 100 points, and McDavid is nine shy of four. And you look at it, and I think now, and we all know that Crosby, you know, lost 3 years, basically two to injury, one to the lockout shortened 48-game season to get to 100 points. So that obviously impacted him a little bit. You look at McDavid and kind of where he's going, like his numbers, like he has a chance really to be significantly farther ahead than Sidney Crosby in many offensive categories.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, we've got this shortened season, and he had the injury, but he didn't miss any games except for when the league postponed due to COVID-19. So a little bit of an advantage not dealing with the lockout. And, yeah, the Crosby head injuries were not good either. I remember we were thinking maybe he won't come back. But where is he going to end up? You know what's kind of glaring to me, too, is some of these milestones and accomplishments he's achieving – are some of the rarest and some of the ones that you thought were untouchable, or he finds himself in like the elite of the elite in terms of company, and you're going, okay, this is another indicator on top of the many already in place saying what he's being able to accomplish and being able to do and how significant it might be. So you're right. He could be almost, I don't know if he's ever going to achieve the same amount of accomplishments that guys were able to knock off in the 70s and 80s when it was the high-flying days, when you saw a lot of 10, 10-9 games and stuff like that, but he's going to push himself and get as close as possible compared to the era of Ovechkin and Crosby and Malkin and all of that, because there were some times where we were coming out of, what, the dead puck era and just finally starting to get back into more offense after the 04-05 lockout.
Tom Cazzola joins us tonight at Sports Leader TSN 1260. Tommy, do Oilers fans see Evan Bouchard tonight? They mentioned there's some nicks and bang and body, so we know that Haas isn't ready to play.
Yeah.
Dave Tippett said that last night. So there is Devin Shore, who could potentially draw in for one of the players, and he can play center or left wing, so there's versatility there. I wonder, is tonight the night they see Evan Bouchard? Because Tippett kind of hinted at a few lineup changes.
Right, and that's where we kind of saw Haas and Shore yesterday. He just kind of, after he was asked about the roster, he just brought it up and said it. So he plays coy sometimes, like he did last week with all of us when you asked him about it. Remember, he slid that little blurb in under his breath while you were still finishing your question, which is funny. But if Evan Bouchard gets in, I'd be happy to see that, just for the simple fact you'd like to see him playing games. I know Oilers fans want to see him playing games. I'm curious to know who might be getting rested and if there are some bumps and bruises that other guys are dealing with. Sounds like certainly that's the case. Who comes out if Bouchard goes in? Is it a guy like Tyson Barrie, or do you rest up Ethan Bear, or is Adam Larson banged up because he's blocked the second most shots in the National Hockey League? So we'll see. But I do want to see Bouchard at least one or two more times this season for his sake and for the sake of the fan base.
Tommy, what did you make of Tom Wilson last night and the fine today from the NHL?
Well, I mean, Connor Halley had a great tweet in regard to the fine system in the CBA compared to those of the other leagues. And, I mean, the fine is ridiculous. You know, someone made the joke, will Tom Wilson even feel the fine? No, absolutely not. Now, what happened last night was... What did Wilson do? It was not good. It was bad. It was over the line, sure. But he was a big boy ragdolling little guys, and nobody was there to hop in and protect the little guys, and the little guys were trying to protect themselves, and he went a little bit overboard. You know, we're seeing, like, Ryan Whitney putting out the people complaining about it. I like the old school brawls. I like fights, but when you're ragdolling guys just because you're going berserk, that's never good. And he did go over the line, but there's no one there from the Rangers to police that. And we've taken away and poo-pooed fighting. And you know, as much as people dislike fighting, it does serve a purpose in the game of hockey, even still to this day. And when there's nobody to police, and you have big guys on one team like in Washington, because they have a lot of big bodies on that team that can throw their body around and chuck knuckles, and you don't have any on the other side in New York, that's what can happen, and it did last night. It was ugly. Now Panarin's not going to finish the season, albeit for the last three games, but that's a result of it. But I like the rough stuff. That's what happens when a little guy goes after a big guy does something stupid to another little guy. And that's the end result. And hockey Twitter is going to go berserk for the rest of the day now.
Yeah, people will get fired up a lot. Now, some other news around the North Division specifically, and I think Oilers fans are very interested in this because the Winnipeg Jets are just falling out of the North Division. They're now into third, and they're tied with Montreal. They do have the tiebreaker advantage because they have one more regulation win. They each have five games remaining, 57 points. They're not catching the Oilers, but Winnipeg-Montreal, can Winnipeg right this ship? Or do you think they're just going to drive it right into the ditch and right quickly in an exit in the first round?
Hey, the ditch with the first round exit is looking more and more likely. This is, if they could have stopped this, you know, even last night against Ottawa, the indicator there was the late go-ahead goal that the Sens got. I think that's pretty telling, because we're not even hearing really the type of quotes and positivity and, you know, we're going to get out of this type of conversation around the Jets and their availabilities. Like, they'll throw those lines in, but you read the body language, how things are being said by either Paul Maurice, Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, Connor Hellebuck, all the big dogs on that team. And you go, boy, something is afoul there. And so, Greg's, it is more and more likely that this team could be out in a hurry in the first round, regardless if they play the Oilers or if they end up in fourth and playing the Maple Leafs. It is big-time trouble for the Jets. This seven in a row that they've dropped here, it's bad as can be at the worst possible time, and they're running out of runway, and that, excuse the pun, and Montreal is just kind of not easing their way into third place, but playing well, getting contributions from young players, Cole Caulfield again, and just by default, if Montreal continues to play 500 hockey and Winnipeg keeps doing what they're doing, we're going to be seeing the Montreal Canadiens and the Edmonton Oilers in the postseason for the first time since 1981.
And not a surprise today. We've been talking about this for a while. Milan Lucic, because people are like, oh, the Oilers or the Flames are going to have to protect Lucic in the expansion draft. Well, of course not. I think that was always, I was told that was kind of part of the deal way back when the trade was made, that he was going to waive it, because is Seattle going to claim him at $6 million for the next few years? Like, he's had it. Lucic is an NHL player. He's just not a $6 million. Right. NHL player, right? He had a decent season this year. And, you know, you look at him, and if he's on your third line, you're fine. It's just really difficult when he makes $6 million. Yep. But, you know, that's not a real big new surprise. But I'm wondering, do you think we're going to see more guys like this? And do you think Seattle's going to take on anybody with salary?
I feel like every GM is very weary of what happened during the Vegas expansion draft. And they don't want to go down the same route that Florida wound up going, and where they lost Marchessault and Riley Smith, and Dale Talon, I think, got fleeced there. So, yeah, I feel like we might see more of these types of scenarios where big ticket, lower impact players are waiving it, or they're not protected and all of that, because in their right mind, why would Seattle go for a guy like that? I think that it's going to be a different expansion draft. So that doesn't surprise me. And I feel like, yes, Greg's, we'll probably see more of that.
And the CFL draft goes tonight, Tommy, 5 o'clock. The Edmonton Football Club, yet to have a name. Still, yeah. Now it's May 4th. And they don't have a name. But they do have the fifth pick in every round. What's your sense? Do you think the CFL is going to play even a shortened season this year?
Yeah, I hope so. And Greg's, I'll be honest with you, as much as I love the CFL and love going to those games in the summer, I have lost track of everything. It sucks, and it's painful to say, but I don't know who they're going to pick. I don't know which way it's going to go. I'd like to know what the team's name is going to be, and I do think they'll play something. You know, we get this vaccine rolled out more, and we see the uptick in deliveries of the vaccine, and if we're all on board and everybody is good to go, and the federal government says, yeah, okay, you guys can have football at outdoor stadiums, then yeah, I think we're going to see football, and I'm hopeful for it. I'm staying positive, but I'm disappointed in myself. I've lost track of the CFL, and I think it's just due to the fact, A, we're in hockey right now. It is hockey season. That is the main focus, and B, they haven't played, and it's been tough to keep it at the forefront of my mind. And I think I if I'm like that and I love this league and always have, I'm wondering where the casual fan's at right now with the CFL.
It's a fair point. Out of sight, out of mind a little bit, yep. And that's a concern. And I'm still a little perplexed why the local team hasn't at least got their moniker out there to give people something to talk about. Be like, okay, because right now just the Edmonton Football Club, and I don't, like, it's been that way for like a year now. I don't really get it at all. Well, Tommy, we got the pregame show coming up again tonight. You and the con man at 6 o'clock. Lots to discuss. Heck, does McDavid get to 95 points tonight? Like, it's ridiculous. Where you just think, well, he could probably get 3 points in another game. Like, if he gets 3 points tonight, that's 7 out of 8 games. He'll have had 3 points.
Like, by Saturday, Greggs. By Saturday, ridiculous. Maybe.
Imagine that. He goes 3-3-3.
Yep.
To get 100 by Saturday. Crazy.
I know.
Tommy, have yourself a good one.
Thank you, Gregor.